Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. Amish-made furniture, along with early American folk art, had been around for years when it was discovered in the 1920s as art dealers and historians began to place great value on the beauty and quality of art pieces and furniture. The Jonestown School in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, was started in the late 18th century and is known for painted blanket chests decorated with flowers. Soap Hollow School is another style of Amish furniture developed in Soap Hollow, Pennsylvania, and are mostly painted in bright reds, gold, and black. What we think of today as Amish-made furniture can be traced back to Henry Lapp, a furniture maker in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, whose designs abandoned the painted, Germanic style influence and lean more toward plain classic lines. Amish craftsmen brought their artisan skills with them when they left Pennsylvania and settled in Ohio. Their furniture was made from solid wood. It was finished by hand, the sanding and varnishing, had dovetail corners, and wood was generally quarter sawn or plain sawn and contained no laminates, particle board, or veneers. Here in the middle of Holmes County, Ohio, better known as Ohio's Amish country, there are some incredibly skilled local craftsmen that build hardwood furniture that is built to last for generations to come. Many of our visitors come to shop for these pieces, most of which can be custom designed with attention to detail such as dovetailed drawers and special varnishes of exceptional quality. Varieties of hardwoods are available from oak, cherry, walnut, to elm, maple, or white oak. While the quality of Amish-made furniture has been long known, the handcrafted furniture made in our area has become somewhat of a stereotyped style. The truth is, the quality of furniture made here is available in every style, from traditional and cottage to industrial and contemporary to rustic, country, shaker, mission, and arts and crafts style. All are available from the finest handcrafted furniture makers to be found. Like any other product, adding on an Amish-made sign can be misleading. If it is truly locally handcrafted, the quality will be revealed under closer inspection. Close-fitted drawers and doors, one-piece drawer fronts, dowel and bolt systems, hidden hinges, finishes where you can feel the difference, and of course, the traditional woodworking methods of joining the furniture where few, if any, screws are involved. Today we're talking with one of the wonderful furniture makers in our area, Gary Yoder, owner of Dutch Craft Furniture. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I've thought about this for a while, but having one of our local furniture makers is one of the things that was on my list. And so we met recently through some work through Main Street Merchant, and that has been a lot of fun getting to know you. And I thought you would be the perfect candidate to come on and talk a little bit about your shop, which is right in town, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's our showroom is in the lower level of the Antique Mall building, or the Plain and Simple Diners on the main floor as well. So it's been a very good location for us.
Now, did you start out there originally?
We did, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you've grown, so across the street is your, is that where you manufacture it, or is that just a warehouse?
That is our warehouse. That's where it all gets checked out and is our pickup and delivery location. The shops are all probably 8 to 10 miles.
Okay.
You know, kind of spread out in the country.
I see.
And then it gets brought into our warehouse in Berlin. And
so you have several furniture makers that you get your
furniture
from and then bring it in and then sell it. Wow.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, Gary. You're local. Were you born and raised here in the area?
Yes. Yep. I grew up just about halfway between Berlin and Winesburg.
Okay.
And my dad had a wood shop ever since I was 10. So when I graduated 8 grades, at 14, I started full-time in his wood shop. And I spent about 8 years till I then went into the showroom and discovered I really like working with people and helping them figure out what furniture works best for them. And
doing the business end, the sales end,
yep.
All of that. You know, it's kind of fascinating to me because I feel like, especially in this area, you can see more and more of this, but that's almost like an apprenticeship. You were raised as a natural thing, was a family-owned business. You work with your dad, but learning that way is almost like old school, like where, you know, the master, whether it was woodworking or painting or whatever they did, they would bring in the apprentice, and the apprentice would work alongside it, learn hands-on how to do that. And I'm sure that that gave you so much experience and far more than maybe even going to maybe even a local trade school in today's world. I think that's really cool. Plus the fact that it's your family, it's a family business that's been handed down. To me, that makes it really unique and wonderful. And I know it makes a difference in the quality. Would you agree with that?
I do agree. That's very true. And while I kind of took that for granted, you know, growing up in it, today I realize how many things I was taught that I didn't have to learn. You know, I still had to learn a lot of things the hard way, but I always had somebody by my side that...
Showing you.
Yes.
And not only as an example of how to do things, but there to guide you through the whole thing as well.
True.
Is that something that you're passing on with your family as well? Or are there, do you have kids that are kind of in the business too, learning how to...
Yeah, my kids are still fairly young, but they're involved. But I'm much a believer on trying to let them choose their own... their own way and not trying to fit them in a mold they don't really want to grow in. But absolutely, the door's open for my kids are 15, 12, and 6.
Okay, so they're just now discovering kind of what's interesting to them. Plus, I'm sure, Gary, I know you well enough that they're learning far more now than they can ever imagine till when they get, you know, to the point where they choose something for their life career, or they're learning things now that they will later look back just as you did and say, oh, wow, I didn't see it at the time, but this is really a legacy and a heritage given to me by my family, by my dad, by my mom, by the community that I live in, all those things.
I
think it takes a while to, I mean, maybe for all of us too, as we grow up, we look back and we can appreciate some of the things that we took for granted, you know.
Very true. Yeah. You
know, and in this area, especially because I feel like there's more of that family-owned apprenticeship, handing down to the next generation type thing, whether or not they go in the same business, the community and the unity of the community, if that makes sense, is, boy, it just gives you something special in the community and for those who grow up in it or come and join in it.
Yes.
I'm an outsider myself. I wasn't raised here, but I would choose to live here. I would choose to work here because of what I see here and the way that the community has embraced me. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about hardwood furniture, because that is a big product in our area, not just for locals, because I'm sure you have a lot of local customers, but also for tourism. How has tourism impacted your business?
We're very thankful for tourism. So that is probably 80% of our business. What makes it really nice, we have a couple large cities that are within 2 hours from us: Columbus, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Wheeling, Cincinnati, and Dayton are a little further, but those are, we see customers from those areas every day. And then, of course, further out, those are not quite as frequent once it goes past 4 hours out, but we still do actually get a lot of business from, like, the Carolinas all the way down to Florida. And out west, that, you know, people just making trips through and they take information back and they end up calling us back and just doing business over the phone.
Yeah, because they've seen it and they know, and they're actually, they come here seeking that, right? The quality of what is made in this area, and certainly what the Amish community, their reputation for the quality of work that they do, especially with the woodworking. I feel like that's probably well known everywhere, you know. An Amish-made home or furniture, that's something that lasts for a long time. Because quality, I hate to say this, but in a lot of areas in our country, quality has, you know, dwindled to the point where things, they just don't last. They're not made to last. That's not how they're produced. And that's totally different here, I think.
It is. Thank you. I mean, that's one thing that I absolutely love what I do, and I love the sales end of it, but to look somebody in the eye, truly knowing that it's not going to hold up, is not something I want to partake. You know, that's part of the motivation. And we have a lot of fun with this because we're not perfect. We make mistakes on the craftsmanship end of it. But you know, when you sell something to someone, you know it's going to hold up.
It's very interesting because I don't see myself as a salesperson, although I work for Heinie's Cheese. So even the cheese we produce, I know it's good cheese.
Yeah.
So it's very simple for me to go out to a show, a consumer show, and to talk about our cheese because it's good. I know it's good. And it's a quality that I can say to people, you'll like it. You may not like this cheese, but you'll like this one, right? So you'll find something you like because the quality is good. And so I see that true in your store as well, that you can talk to people and it's genuine because you know the product that you're selling is its quality. Now, people have different tastes. They may not like this chair, but there'll be a chair they'll like. And when they find something they like, when they take it home, you know that it's going to be almost like a heritage piece for them. That's going to be grandma's chair someday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a chair my grandmother had, and she had it made in Holmes County in Berlin, Ohio. And I get it because it was handed down to me. And that, to me, it's really a special factor when you think about the things that you buy, because so many things will not last, and they're not meant to last. I get that. But
sure,
a piece like a chair or a dining room table or a bedroom suit or something like that where it has quality and you know it's going to last, especially I'm sure our listeners know this. If they've bought a piece of furniture, they think, that's brand new. I just bought that and it's not holding up the way that I thought it should. That makes it pretty frustrating. So it's interesting to me, too, because in the last year, as we've come through the pandemic, furniture making is one of those things. It's one of the products that haven't gone down in sales, so to speak. In fact, it's had the opposite effect. More people are looking now for furniture, and you're probably busier than ever, I would hesitate to say.
True.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I think with people being home and they look at their home and they think of the things they need with their home, plus they're not traveling, they're not doing other things. So they have that bit of money. It's going to go toward putting it into their home and buying furniture. What are some of the things you're seeing in terms of, you know, are there long wait times? Is it, you know, what kind of things are you seeing in the store?
Yeah, our build time right now is about 6 months out, and which is largely contributed just to the sheer volume of work that we got in. We have been fortunate and have not really been hit with material shortages. The hardwoods are all locally sourced. So we, you know, while there is a high demand for the lumber, it's still readily available. We ran into some foam and fabric issues. Those would be two items that are, you know, that are brought in from outside the area. But otherwise, we've really not, and I'm very grateful for that, to not have so many orders and all at once run out of material where we can't, you have all this work, but you can't keep on producing. So
Exactly. And some people are finding, whether it's labor or materials, that's the holdup. And then the volume of the orders increases and get back up. So it's sort of a cyclical thing where it becomes an ongoing kind of a hamster's wheel. You have to keep going until you get through that rough part. But is your business, now you've been in business for how long?
12 years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. And it's grown because obviously you started out, you know, as you said, you know, under the one building. Now you have the warehouse across the road. How many, I don't want to call them manufacturers, how many craftsmen do you have working for you, or how many local source?
I work with about 10 to 12 individually owned shops. We really break it down and specialize it, where at one shop we'll just do chairs.
I see.
Another shop just tables. It takes a completely different set of woodworking equipment to build a chair than it does a table.
I see.
So it keeps it more efficient and just a little bit more lean to keep the shops. It keeps the shops a little smaller.
Yeah.
It's easier than to customize. That is something we're very thankful for, that we can easily, if we're making it anyway, we can change the dimensions or even some styling features.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one thing I wanted to ask you about, is customization and how easy is that, especially things that are manufactured on a manufacturing line. There's not much room for I mean, you might get a different color, but really true customization of, I wish this were a little bigger, or I wish it, you know, this part of it was different, or some of those things as you talk to people. But you're able to do that with your customers as they come in and ask that for specific customization for the pieces that they're looking for. And I think that's awesome, because they get a quality piece and it's a custom piece at that. That's crazy. So,
The structure of how our shops are set up, it makes it very easy for us. So while we can't, you know, we can't just ramp up production, but it's, so you kind of sacrifice lead time a little bit. But for people with new homes, and it's very important that the furniture fits well in their homes, and And also the ability for colors. That is something that we have at, you know, a local stain manufacturer that makes all the stains, and we can take a couple boards down to them. They can wipe some new colors on it, and it's very fun to be able to have that.
To have that customization. Yeah. And I love you that you bring that up, because that is one of the things I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is some of the things that you look for in handmade artisan, if you will, handcrafted furniture, you know, hardwood furniture that is handcrafted, customized, that looks totally different than something you're going to go buy from the big box store in one of the bigger cities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is the attention to detail. It's in the finishes, correct? In the sanding, in what, you know, the varnishes that you use, in just the attention to detail.
Yeah. That's something that customers have asked me already. How do I know if it's handmade or made locally here? And I said, one way to check is I don't know of a craftsman or a shop locally that will not change the size of a piece of furniture by 6 inches or customize it a little bit. And if you can't do that, then it's probably not locally made.
Mm, yeah.
I just don't know of anyone that, you know, does not have that as an option.
Yeah, to change it just a little bit. Otherwise, it is being manufactured somewhere else, and
most likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Well, I feel like the furniture industry is one of the things locally, one of our local businesses that really stabilize our community in terms of economics. I mean, we have a lot of wonderful furniture makers, and we sell a lot of furniture here. I mean, when you think about the volume that you go through, even given the pandemic, even before the pandemic, you sell a lot of furniture. People come here looking for quality furniture. And when they find it, I feel like they go back home and people see it. And then even just word of mouth, where'd you get that beautiful table? Oh, I got it in Berlin, Ohio at Dutch mm-hmm. Craft Furniture. Well, you got their number? I want to call them. Or how far away is that? Can we go look? Or that is almost a better marketing strategy, if you will, that sometimes I think than even maybe, I know social media and radio and all those things gets the word out. But when people see quality and they share it with others and their friends see it or someone else sees it, the word of mouth just goes really rather quickly. Do you have return customers, do you think?
Yeah, that's a big part of our business. And the word of mouth thing is amazing. Just, you know, people inviting friends over for a dinner, family, it's unreal how much business we get back off of that.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I want to ask you, too, about the style, because I think sometimes people think, okay, Amish-made furniture, well, it's very simple, or it's a shaker-style mm-hmm. furniture where there's not a lot of elaborate whatever with it. But that's not necessarily true, because you do all types of styles of furniture, correct? I mean, if somebody comes in, they want, well, I want something a little more modern, you would have that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We do work very hard in keeping designs on the floor that fit a variety of tastes and decor in the house. That and also different colors that, you know, a different color can make a piece look more modern
mm-hmm.
or more transitional, more traditional. You can do a lot with that too, but no, there's definitely a wide variety of styles.
Which is great for people to know as they come in, because I feel like in some ways it's well known, in some ways it's not well known at all. It's kind of a hidden gem, you know, mm-hmm. that some people don't realize. And I think it's mostly maybe locals who don't realize the treasure we have in our community and what we have available to us here, right here in our own area, in terms of, you know, craftsmen like you and your store and the things that are available to them. Maybe that's not the first place they look, because in some ways we're used to going to the big city to find whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love about this area, and as you've described for your store specifically, is that you do so much locally sourced stuff. Like, your manufacturers are local. They're, you know, 3-4 miles away. These are small shops that you're supporting in the community. You know, you get the hardwood here. You get what material you can here. You get what you can here in the community. And I love that you're supporting the other businesses in the area, because it is one of the things that just, it simply makes the community more stable. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no way to get around that. Economically, you're just more stable because there's not so much up and down, and you know, you're making things and you're profiting, and that means people and other people in the community are also profiting because they're supplying you what you need, and that's how they're making, you know, their profit, mm-hmm. selling to you, so to speak. But you would have a choice to go somewhere else. And so I really appreciate that. And I think when people say buy local, they maybe don't always understand the full ramification of that or what that means to yep. a community. You know, yep. the small shops on the you know, main street, the businesses that are all over on the back roads, all of that is so important. And when we support one another, that's what makes our community, I think, mm-hmm. in ways of not just economics, but the community itself is very, very much community-minded, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm very, very thankful for that, and I feed off of the confidence that I have in my suppliers, mm-hmm. the builders out at the shops. Mm-hmm. When a customer comes in and places a furniture order with us, they trust us that we'll produce what they, you know, ordered and what they're expecting. They have a level of expectations, and I thrive off of that confidence in my builders at the shops, knowing I can trust them. I know them personally, mm-hmm. versus hoping, you know, when you deal with some of these large factories, maybe they're overseas even, I would struggle because you can be, when you're in sales, you're at the front, you're talking to the customer, and that's who they trust. And I would really struggle if I didn't know who I'm working with. And yeah. and so I do. I have great confidence in them, and that means a lot to me.
Yeah, and I think overall that ups the quality, if you will, of the furniture and just the whole process even of even the shopping experience to come in and talk to someone who is, first of all, knowledgeable. You know furniture manufacturing. You've done it. You've done woodworking. You know your suppliers, as you said. You know the quality that they're bringing to the table, and the whole package there is really great, I think, for tourists and locals alike to come in and experience that. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come in and see and check you out. Tell us again where you're located, Gary.
We're located in the lower level of the Berlin Village Antique Mall, right on 62, the corner of 39 and 62 there in Berlin. Our warehouse is directly across the street, right under Kaufman's Country Accents. The Berlin Village Gift Barn and Country Gatherings is our next door neighbor. Wonderful neighbors. Very thankful for all the people around us.
You are in a great spot and in a really wonderful area for people to come shop at your store, spend the day. Do you have a website?
Yes, we do.
And it's Dutch?
Dutchcraftfurniture.com.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll link that in the podcast so people can go on and kind of see what you have.
Nice.
Listeners, I hope you do check it out. Gary Yoder's Dutch Craft Furniture. It's a wonderful place. This is a wonderful business. And Gary, you're fantastic to come on the podcast with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I am honored.
And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that Henry Lapp became one of the best known carpenters, cabinet makers during his lifetime in the 19th century? He was born the third of seven children and was deaf. It's thought that he began painting pictures in order to communicate because speech was difficult for him. His designs and colorful drawings are gathered in what became his order book for customers and now resides in the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And now you know.